let's just tell the Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. We have a reason to praise the Lord. Bless you, Lord. Amen. We're going to go into the Word of God. We see that the time is far spent. But certainly we thank God for each of you that are here. Thank God for Sister Patricia.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
And we pray that something is said this morning that will nourish the soul, because that's what it's all about. God is concerned about the soul and our well-being. I'd like to direct your attention to the book of Luke. We've been traveling through the book of Luke, and so we want to pick up in the fifth chapter. The fifth chapter of Luke, beginning at the first verse. And this is a familiar passage to some, but others may not be familiar with it. The fifth chapter of Luke, verse 1 through 6, will be the reading. It says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a draught. And Simon answered, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nonetheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net broke." The Bible says the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. This is important for us to even for today. The most that you want the word of God. We don't want opinion. We don't want politics. We don't want gossip, but we want the unadulterated truth. We want the word of God. The Bible said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. I believe it's in Malachi 3 and 8, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it said that the duty of the minister is to sit at the feet of the Lord and to receive from the Lord's lips what would be given unto him. Now, I paraphrase that, but I am 100% sure that the minister's responsibility is to receive the message from God. And so the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. There's nothing better that we can receive is the word of God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing that of the word of God. That's Romans 10 and 14. You need the word of God in order to have faith. The Bible said that the Lord spoke to Abraham and said, walk before me and be perfect. It was the message that God gave to Abraham, and all the communication in between that we don't have documented, but God spoke into his spirit. It was the word that was manifested in him. And as he walked before God, he became a man of faith and believed and trusted in God. And so the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. We know that from a historical view that between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there was the word of God was not spoken. They was reading the word, but there was no open revelation or dreams. And God sent a word and said that he was going to establish that John the Baptist was going to be born. And you can go back and read this for yourself. But John the Baptist was born as a miracle because Elizabeth, the parents, could not have any children. And they were up in age, and the angel visited them, Gabriel, and said that they would bear a son, and their son would come and make ready the way for the Messiah. And when John came up on the scene, he came preaching the gospel when the Spirit of the Lord stirred him up, found him in the wilderness, and bypassed all the government bodies, bypassed the head of the church, and went to John and drew him out of the wilderness. And John went into Judea and other places preaching the message of repentance and warning the people to get their hearts right and to be ready for the coming of the Lord. And so Jesus is now, the way has been made, the gospel is being preached, and Jesus comes on the scene stirring up because his ministry, it's time for his ministry to blossom. And there was healing. The Bible tells us that Jesus had been tested. The Bible said that that he had been fasting for 40 days. And the Spirit of the Lord drew him into the wilderness where he was tested. The Satan saw that he was hungry and tried to play up on his hunger. We have to be careful because the enemy will look and see our situations and try to play upon them. We have to be careful because we know that that the enemy is a deceiver. We know that he is one that is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so if he see you in a state of being, see you at a time of weakness, which every man has known, every woman has known, all of us become hungry. When the enemy sees that you're hungry for a particular thing, then he's going to try to play upon that. And so he saw that Jesus was hungry and tried to play upon the hunger, and which would have affected all humanity. But he was tested and tried and walked away victorious. He said that it is written. So we know that the power that works against the enemy is written in the word of God. Because Jesus has already proven that the word of God is steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, that like a two-edged sword, that it is able to conquer and divide, but it can also do surgical reassessment. It can also fix us. It can also remove a cancer or something that's within us that will impede our growth, that will stop us from being a whole person. Bless your Lord. The Bible says that they pressed upon him to hear the word of God. I think that's important because people are not pressing today to hear the word of God. They were challenging. They were insisting. They were asking. They were questioning. They went to Jesus looking for what he had. When we go to church, when we come into a service, when we're on the radio, when we're listening through the internet, when we're through whatever means that we want to receive the gospel or that we're at that moment trying to receive, we should be pressing for the word of God. We should be looking for something that is going to feed our souls, something that is going to take us from earth into heaven. You know, I used to like the commercial, the Taco Bell commercial, where the man goes to Taco Bell and when he leaves, he says, "I'm full." Because when you go to church, you want to leave, and my God, thank you, Lord. When you go to service, you want to leave and know that you've been fed. Bless you, Lord. You want to know that I've heard the word of God, that God sent his word, and I can take it and I can use it. Bless you, Lord. So they pressed upon him. The people were hungry for the word.
They were hungry and wanted to hear, and they felt. It amazes me how God puts us in a situation where we line right up with the Word of God, and sometimes we don't even know it. We find ourselves in a situation, and you know, they like to use the phrase that God works in mysterious ways, and sometimes they misuse it because they use it in a situation that doesn't apply to the Word of God, or they use it in a situation that is not righteous, that is not holy, but is sinful. But God works in mysterious ways, and He lines us up. He puts it up on our heart and causes us that we find ourselves in a certain place at a certain time, and then He sends that word that is needed at that moment. Bless your Lord. The Bible says that the people pressed upon Him. They were hungry and thirsty. They lined up with the Word of God, for the Bible tells us that if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you shall be filled. Jesus had been tested, and the Bible said He returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee. People heard about Jesus, which makes me wonder, have you told anyone about Jesus lately? Bless your Lord. That's something that we should be doing, that we should be telling others about Jesus, about the power of God, rather than keeping it to ourselves. If you've seen it, tell somebody. If you hear about it, tell somebody. The Bible said Jesus taught in their synagogues, meaning that He went to the church service and stood in the service and listened and taught the Word of God as well. When He went back to His hometown of Nazareth, He went to the church and participated in the service. For the Bible said, and there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He have sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He preached deliverance to the captive and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And He closed the book and sat and gave it again back to the minister and sat down. After you have delivered the message and you know what you have been given is of God, you need to know how to stop and sit down. Jesus did. Jesus delivered the word and was very on point with what was said. And He sat down afterwards. The Bible said they were astonished at His doctrine, for the word was with power. People with demons was delivered. People with sickness was healed. God's plan was in full effect. God has a plan. He has a plan for each of us. God has a plan that He has designed to be carried out for His purpose. And we are included. That's a reason to give God praise, knowing that you have been included. Maybe you hadn't thought about that. Maybe you didn't know that. Maybe no one told you that. But you are included in God's plan. The Bible lets us know that His plan was being executed. A plan of action. It's good for each of us to have a plan of action. A plan can be as simple as placing $10 into a savings account each month and not letting anything stop you. A plan can be complex. A plan is a plan. And so we ought to ask ourselves, do I have a plan this morning? What is my plan? Someone has a plan, and it does not include God. Someone has a plan that includes something that will, that if they should fall short, that is going to mess up the community. Someone has a plan that if they fall short, that is going to affect the home and family. You ought to have a plan that's based upon righteousness. You ought to have a plan that's based upon holiness. You ought to have a plan that is going to uplift the community, uplift the family, uplift friends and neighbors, uplift the job, uplift the circumstances. You ought to have a plan that you're willing to carry out in the name of the Lord. What kind of plan do you have? What ideal is going on in your mind? You have to see it. Whatever the ideal is, whatever the plan is, you have to see it and you have to feel the ideal. You have to feel it as if it exists today. I believe that we can take a lesson from God. because he had a plan that would have been set in motion. John was said that I saw a lamb as if it had been slain from the foundation of the world. There was a plan that was already set in motion for the fall of man. That if man should fall short, if man should give in to his own temptation, should give in to his own lust, should give in to his own desire, there was a plan that God had already set in motion. Already looking from the beginning until the end. That this man is going to need a plan. This man is going to need some help in the future. The Bible said that John, while on the Isle of Patmos, said, I saw a lamb that had been slain from the foundation of the world. So the plan had already been set in motion in the spirit realm, and yet it needed to materialize into time. Bless you, Lord God. So when you have a plan, and when you have an ideal, it is already, and you believe in it with faith. For the Bible tells us that if we pray and ask, as and act as if we already have received it, then it will come to pass. So I'm going to pray. Let me encourage you right now that when you pray, that you ought to pray believing it as if it's already been done, so that you will receive it. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. He had a plan that was put into motion. So when you put your plan into motion, you got to receive it, believe it, and see it within yourself. Now, do not make the mistake of believing that others should be as thrilled about your plan as you are. Because one, they did not receive the plan. You did. They're not the one that's working the plan. You are. The day will come that they will be recipients. The day will come that they will see a manifestation of the plan. But at the moment that you're planning it out, nobody understands the plan but you. No one was given the vision but you. No one had the dream but you. No one was walking down the street, driving in the car, riding a bicycle, going for a jog, taking a walk, and received the message that they knew was a great ideal. But you. Bless your Lord. Ha, bless your Lord Jesus. Mighty God. So when you see it in with your spiritual eye, then you believe it and rejoice about it, and you begin to work toward that. The Bible says it like this, and I love this. It says, when the fullness of time was come, the scriptures had already talked about the birth of Jesus Christ from Genesis to, bless you, Lord, from Genesis throughout the entire Old Testament as Jesus was ministering and talking to the disciples and witnessing to them and building up their faith. He said, behold, the volume of the book is written about me. Bless you, Lord. So it's all about me. But then when the fullness of time came, God sent his son, made of a woman, made under the law. When the fullness of time came, everything was manifested that was already seen and manifested in the spirit where time does not exist. Bless you, Lord God. So your ideal, your plan that God has put into your heart materializes when the fullness of time, because it's already been manifested in the spirit, God has already shown it, God has already established it, God has already said yes to it, God has already said, I'm going to help you in with your ideal, with your plan, I am going to establish it. But when the fullness of time comes, then everybody sees it. It's not until the fullness of time manifests itself that everyone gets a glance at it. The Bible said in Hebrews, it said, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great cloud of witness, that we are compassed about with a great cloud of witness. It said, let us, you and I, all of us, let us, everybody that believe this, lay aside every weight. My God, I feel like running right now. Lay aside every weight, every sin, everything that would impede, everything that would stop the plan from going into motion, everything that would stop us from getting close to God, everything that would stop us from lining up with the will of God. He said, lay it down. Set it aside. Get it out the way. Because it's going to throw you off balance. It's going to mess you up. It's going to stop you. You're going to have to start over again. He said, let it go. Let it go. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, bless you, Lord God. I think that we're old enough now that we understand right from wrong. We're old enough now that we know not to go down that road, because if we travel down that path, it's going to take us to a dead end street. Been there and done that. Bless you, Lord God. I know how to read the street signs now, whereas maybe in my younger days, I didn't know how to read it. I was so rambunctious and doing things without thinking about it. Thank you, Lord. But I'm older now. I heard the writer say, when I was a child, I talked as a child. I did childish things. But as I became older and I reached my teen years and I started to learn a little bit more, but yet I wasn't considered, I wasn't mature enough yet. But now I can look back and I can't say that. Right now I can look and say, I have some life experiences that taught some lessons. And those lessons point me back to the word of God, that this is the right way to go. This is what I need to do and make sure that my will lines up with God's will, that I'm in the will of God no matter what. Lay aside every weight, every sin that so doeth easily beset us. And he said, let us run with patience. This is important here. This is important because it goes along with the laying aside of sin and moving those things out the way that would get us out the will of God. He said, let us run with patience. I'm trying to do something. I'm doing something here and you're doing something there. He said, be patient. The establishing, the work, What you're doing in the name of the Lord. He said, be patient. It manifests over time, not the next day. So it said, be patient. Be patient. I want you to underline that in your mind. That you have to be patient. You have to run this race with patience. In other words, pace yourself. The race is not given to the swift. It's not given to the strong. But it's given to the one that endures. The endurance comes with patience. It comes with a pacing. And see, this is a long run. This isn't a sprint to the end, but this is a run that requires some patience. And then he goes on and says, he said, now look. I want you to do this with your spiritual eye right now. He said, look unto Jesus. Don't look at Pastor Carl. He said, look unto Jesus. Don't look at your neighbor and others sitting by you. Don't look at no one else. But he said, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher, the beginning, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. A plan is a good thing to have. Listen. When you're looking at the goal, because you have to stay focused on the goal. Jesus' focus was upon the goal, and the goal was to bring many sons to glory. So when you look at the plan, you have to look at the outcome, at the goal of what you are intending to do. What is my goal this morning? What am I doing? What am I trying to do? My personal goal is to save souls. My personal goal is to help point everyone to Jesus Christ. Right? That's my personal goal. Whatever your goal is that lines up with the word of God, you have to look at the final result, the outcome of that. Do you have a plan of action? I know we were talking about Jesus being pressed for the word of God, but him being pressed for the word of God was God's plan in action. Bless you, Lord. Do you have a plan of action? What plan have you made? As a child of God, are you carrying out those plans? Maybe you have a plan or you executed the plan. And along the execution, you hit a speed bump. You ran into a bottleneck. Or maybe a pedestrian, somebody crossing your path. Because as we journey through this land, there are people that are going to cross our path. Maybe someone crossed your path. Or you hit a few dead-end streets. God's plan was tested just like yours. God's plan and the ability he gave made it and executed it. Listen, the Bible tells us, and I'm not going to get through all of this, but the Bible says for the rain, Isaiah 55, 10 and 13, it says, for as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. God's word is not, oh bless you, Lord God. So if we rely upon the word of God, and if we do as Jesus did and say, it is written, and we are talking specifically, just like Jesus was, about the word of God that was written, the word that applied, catch this, the word that applies to the situation. Everybody got that? The word that applies to the situation. See, it's one thing to quote the scripture, but it's another thing to quote something that applies to your situation. The Bible said and says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. So when I see a weapon that is being created, I want to take you back a few more verses before that. When God spoke this, when Isaiah was reiterating this, he also said that the Lord said, I'm the one that created the blacksmith. I want you to get that. I'm the one that created the blacksmith that is creating the weapon. I'm the one that created the blacksmith that's creating the weapon that I'm saying no weapon formed by the blacksmith. Are you with me? No weapon formed by that blacksmith is going to hurt you. I understand the dynamics of the weapon. I allow you to make the weapon, but now I'm telling you the weapon is not going to do you any harm. So when we line up with the word of God and the situation that comes that we are faced with, we have to apply the correct scripture. I'm healed. I'm healed by the blood of the Lamb. Huh? There's healing. The Bible said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm in a situation right now that I need deliverance. Let me call upon the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my God. It doesn't matter who's around me. They need to call upon the name of Jesus, too. I need to be saved. I need this situation fixed. I don't have any other words. I don't have a 1,000-word prayer to pray. I don't have a 20-word prayer to pray. All I know to do is say, Jesus! He knows his name. Matter of fact, he said, I'll answer you before you call me. So I'm lining up with the word of God for every situation, for everything that comes into play, everything that I'm faced with. I need to make sure that the word of God is applied because that's what Jesus did. He made sure the word of God applied. The Lord said, my word won't go out and return unto me void. It's not going to return void. God said it's not going to return void. If God has spoken it, God has spoken it into our lives, God has spoken salvation, God said you shall live and not die, then that means you are going to live and not die. Bless the Lord. When God says that to leap for joy and your feet feel like cement blocks, go ahead and leap. After a while, the cement will start to crumble. Bless you, Lord. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. After a while, the cement will start to crumble, and you'll find that you'll be able to leap. You'll find yourself leaping and moving in a direction that you weren't able to do, because depression and sorrow made you feel weighed down, but God said leap for joy. Bless you, Lord Jesus. So we have to leap because the word of God says it. Others might be looking, saying, you crazy. How you leaping? How you jumping and doing all of that? Well, the Bible says, it told me to leap for joy, and I'm applying the word of God to my situation right now. Bless your name, Jesus. And because I have this promise, that we have this promise, you have this promise, that God said, my word will go out and it will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish, write that down in your mind, it's going to accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. I've got to stop. But if you get nothing else, get it that God has set a plan in action, and that you were included in that plan. And God's word is unfailing. The people pressed upon him to hear the word because they understood with their own eyes through the hearing and what has been spoken that the word of God is doing something. Something that they had not seen happen in quite some time. Many generations had passed, had come and gone, and had not seen the activity of the word of God like they were experiencing at that moment. The word of God. The word of God. You can't live without it. You can't do without it. It's the word of God. God set a plan into motion. And we're involved in that plan right now. God bless you. Hope to see you soon. Bless your name, Jesus. God's plan. God's plan. God's plan. God's plan. There's no accidents.